You're listening to SBS News.
At this hour, American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger.
And so, the invasion of Iraq had begun. First came the bombs, then boots on the ground. 6 weeks was all it took to topple the tyrant Saddam Hussein's regime. The rationale for invasion was to disarm Iraq of weapons of mass destruction and Saddam Hussein's support for terrorism and free the Iraqi people. Multiple inquiries have found there was no factual basis for the first two objectives. So what of the third goal? To bring freedom to Iraq in the form of peace, prosperity and democracy. According to Professor Benjamin Isaacan, an international politics researcher at Deakin University, the desired outcome has not been achieved.
It's been an absolute failure on all of its key goals and promises to the Iraqi people and to the international community.
Razal Salawi from Amnesty International shares a similar opinion.
No, Iraqis are not better off, but it was not better under the Ba'ath regime. They should have a third choice. It is really not just important, but insulting to ask an Iraqi whether it was better before the invasion or not.
Aidan Parks, a researcher from the Australian National University, shares this criticism.
The invasion more broadly can only be described as imperialistic hubris of the highest order. All of the objectives that they went into to accomplish failed abysmally, and I think it's one of the most disruptive, shameful events in the history of international relations.
When it comes to the pursuit of peace, there's broad consensus that the strategy used was flawed. Mr. Parks again.
The US went in thinking that they would take out the army and all the other institutions would stand, from the ministries to the police force. And instead, the entire system collapsed.
That collapse compounded after the last coalition forces withdrew in 2011. The so-called Islamic State group filled the void, their tendrils of terror spreading through vast swathes of Iraq and Syria, posing a major threat to regional security and the global order. Razal Salawi explains that this was the war's legacy in the region.
But we mustn't forget that it was the blind and blunt way in which this invasion and subsequent occupation was carried out that created the gateway for the security vacuum, the absolute lack of rule of law.
5 years since the defeat of IS, its terror cells remain active, and according to Mr. Isaacan, they're not the only threat.
Largely in the south of Iraq, you have a broad array of different Shiite militias. Many of them are backed by Iran, and many of them are extremely aggressive and violent.
In terms of prosperity, Iraq boasts significant oil riches, but as Mr. Parks explains, rampant corruption means health and education are chronically underfunded.
There was one estimate that in 2018, 25% of the state payroll was lost to corruption. And the state budget in 2003 was around $1.2 million. And then once this elite bargain was institutionalized, the budget rose from $3 billion to $38 billion.
And experts say that corruption is a symptom of Iraq's half-baked democracy. There has been undeniable progress. Millions vote in regular elections, and protests forbidden under Saddam Hussein's regime are now frequent. Last year, demonstrators even stormed parliament. But experts say crackdowns on civil society remain common and happen in less obvious ways. It's 20 years after that first night of blistering shock and awe. Baghdad still bears both the visible and invisible scars of war. There's a fountain that marks the spot where a statue of Saddam came down, as true freedom still eludes the people of Iraq. Alex Anifantis for SBS News.